Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, it is time for a report card. Almost everyone's least favorite time when it would be time for a pop quiz. Report cards are handed out. Jake is getting shivers. I normally get very excited. However, we are going to look at the Mariners' quarterly marks here. So I've got larger concepts like offense, bullpen, and then specific players. We're going to ask a question.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I hid my report card from my parents?
Uh-oh. Now's the time to tell.
When I was in middle school, and this is why the mention of report cards just gives me sheer
sends a shiver
horror,
down your spine.
Okay? But when I was in middle school, I got a really, really bad report card, okay? Really bad report card, and I mean, I'm talking like it was bad, bad. It was below a two.
Like, okay? You had a bunch of E's.
Like, it was, yeah, but a bunch of E's, I shouldn't have been mad because I thought, E's, excellent. Like,
yeah,
great.
You got confused.
Yeah, I got confused.
A listener actually asked that we include E's in today's grade. Okay, since yesterday, great. I just thought it went A, B, C, D, F.
And that's right. But it was really bad. So I threw my report card away. Like, I just threw it in the trash. And I was like, Mom, I never got it. Timmy and you know, Lisa, sure. Yeah, we're making up names. they got their report cards. Their moms told me that they got their report cards. Where's yours?
And you're like,
they've got it sealed in a super, super secure vault. For whatever reason, they've got to look at it a little longer.
They send out the honor roll report cards last.
Exactly.
What they do is they do it alphabetically, and also the printers. The printer.
That's
something
right.
with the printer wasn't working.
I'm sure they listen. They were listening to me being a parent right now, and were just like, "You are so full."
I hope that you came in and you were like, "You know, Mom, Dad." So that's the problem with the public school system is there's just no consistency.
No accountability.
So, how is it Lisa has her report card and I don't? I'm dying to know.
This is a travesty. This is unacceptable. I will go in there, Mom, and demand for my report card. You, I promise you, I'll get it. So, anyways, I'm stalling for time. Right? I don't know what to do.
Okay.
I am also playing basketball at the same time for the middle school. Okay. My report card comes in, and my coach, Mr. Lee, at Beaver Lake Middle School, who is the best math teacher on the planet, he obviously sits me down. He suspends me because my grades need to be better. So my parents show up to the game expecting their son to be playing, and I am on the bench. The entire game.
No.
Did you look at them once?
Oh, I knew I was in for it. And later on, they came down, asked what the heck was going on.
Oh, man.
And Mr. Lee had to tell them that my grades were not good, and I wanted to die right then and there. So long story short, just tell the truth. Tell the truth. Don't hide your report card. Jesse Winker, whoever else we're going to talk about right now, don't hide your Jake and Stacy report card from people. Accept it. Recognize it, and let's move forward. And you know what I had to do at that point? I got my grades up, and I ended up playing and just fine, but that was a moment I will never, ever forget. Ever forget. Oh,
I'm just imagining Jake for the entirety of that game staring straight ahead.
Jake,
I didn't know they were going to be there. And they walked in the gym, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh
terrible.
Well, speaking of grades and speaking of honesty, let's be honest, even though we want these grades to be much better, let's be honest about where we think these grades are for a couple different categories, okay? Here we go. Classes in session. It is the quarter mark report card. We're going to start with specific players. We're going Jesse Winker, one of the Mariners' biggest offseason acquisitions, outside of, obviously, Robbie Ray, who was the big name in free agency. But when the Mariners couldn't bring in another bat, what'd they do? They made a trade with the Cincinnati Reds, brought in Jesse Winker, a player we were all very excited about. And yet, Jesse Winker has not lived up to those numbers. Now, he's had his moments, but overall has not been the bat the Mariners were expecting. How are we grading Jesse Winker through the quarter mark of the season?
How are we grading Jesse Winker? I would.
I already know what Greg Curtis is giving.
I know what Greg Curtis is giving. curve or anything, but I'm going to give Jesse Winker a D.
I'm also giving
him a D. I am giving him a D, and the reason why is because it's not an F, is because when you look at overall his on-base percentage, I still feel like Jesse Winker is doing a good job of giving you at least pro bats. Now, Curtis, I know taking strike two yesterday was...
In that spot, after botching the ball in the outfield... You cannot do that, Jesse.
No,
Winker.
You can't look at it. You can't watch that. Oh, gosh, it was so bad.
At least put a miserable swing on the ball.
Outside of that one at-bat, I feel like Jesse Winker has provided you with good at-bats at the very minimum, which is why in this scenario I give him a D and not an F, and I'm being incredibly generous right now, but he has not lived up to the billing of the expectations of what this team needs him to be. Not want, but needs him to be, and that has been a big problem for this team.
So I'm also giving him a D, and in the theme of report cards, if I were the teacher, I would be writing like, I know that Jesse can apply himself. I know Jesse's skill set exceeds his grade, and that would be the message that I would be giving to Jesse. Jesse would, of course, throw that report card away, and then there would be that awkward interaction of me calling Scott Service and
Correct.
Telling him about this grade,
mm-hmm.
and Scott saying, what grades?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. Jesse Winker, don't learn from my mistakes,
please. All
right,
let's bring the next student in here. The Mariners quarter mark report card, Ty France.
I think this is a pretty easy one, Stacey. Do you want to answer this one?
Yeah, I mean, I said A+.
I don't know how people do this, but have you seen this more and more? I thought that 4.0 was the highest that you could get.
Oh, no, Jake. You can actually go much higher than a 4.0.
Oh,
in
God.
Fact, in fifth grade, during one math project, I got an A++ that was really written on there, and they used mine as the example for the other students.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what grade was this?
It doesn't matter, Jake.
Okay. So, but I'm seeing kids,
coloring was part of the assignment. That's
I'm
all
seeing
you need
kids
to know.
Today graduate with like a 4.3 or a 4.5. Did the grading scale change out of nowhere? I'm very confused by this. But if
my high school
Ty France
awful.
Is operating on a different scale than the rest of us, he is at a 4.0, if not more. I mean, he is. Not only has he risen to the expectations, he has exceeded expectations.
Would you say he's valedictorian?
Yes, he is valedictorian, and it's not even close. There's not even a close second right now.
Well,
he's been
we'll
sensational.
See about
runners
that.
In scoring position, RBIs. I mean, Ty France has been absolutely amazing.
Our next student, one of our newest students, in fact, and youngest, Julio Rodriguez.
Okay. All right, Julio Rodriguez to me gets an A.
Well, at one point he was leading the league in strikeouts or second in strikeouts.
Right,
I still gave him an A though.
But he overcame that. I mean, that's in the past. I mean, I don't even remember those days. Okay, it's so long ago. That's what it feels like. And Julio has completely put that behind him, and that's why it feels like forever ago, because Julio has really stepped up to, you know, the challenge of. You know, the pitching at the major league level, being able to hit off-speed stuff, being able to take advantage of the fastball, you know, really staying disciplined with his approach at the plate, being a better center fielder than anyone was anticipating that he would be coming out of the gate. Also leading the league in stolen bases. Like, how does Julio Rodriguez not get an A for you right now? Because he is just continuing to get better and better and better.
Curtis, would you also give Julio an A?
I would give him a B+.
Okay. Oh.
I think because the start he got off to
average
left him, yeah.
It's the full quarter, you guys.
It is.
The full quarter.
Okay. He had a great finish to the quarter,
a
turned
great
in a
finish.
Great final project.
But he muffed a couple assignments early.
Yeah. Look, when you're getting the hang of it, you know, first couple weeks in
yeah.
class, it's, look, syllabus week only goes a week. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't go longer than
mm-hmm.
that. You got to start performing after that. And look, he had a tough go of it, but I'm not worried about him now. He is in a groove. He's on his way up. Look, you get a B average, you're on the honor roll. He's on the honor roll.
Well, I mean, Curtis is that one teacher that just is like out to make a point, right?
He's out to teach you a life lesson.
Yeah.
It's not even like, just give me the grade, Mr. Rogers. And he's like, I want you to leave here a better person.
That's right.
It's like
exactly
stand
right.
and deliver. I'm Jaime Escalante.
That's exactly what it is. Next student in here. This one's interesting. A transfer student, new in town, who's adjusted well socially, but has he adjusted to the classroom? This student, Robbie Ray.
Oh, man. This is one that I torment over. Because Curtis has one of the most absurd stats that he came across that I've ever witnessed when it comes to Robbie Ray. But, man, what do I want to grade Robbie Ray? I have to give him a C minus. I have to give him a C minus. Although Robbie Ray has, you know, given you quality starts and has been able to get you to six innings pretty regularly in his starts. It just and for the majority of his innings, he's been really good. You cannot overlook the fact that there is an inning in each of those starts where he just absolutely implodes and puts the team in a tough position. And if Robbie Ray can get that under control, I think that he will quickly change. It will quickly go from a C minus to, you know, a high B. But I mean, you cannot overlook, you know, that fact. And Robbie Ray has not been, unfortunately, the AL Cy Young Award winner that he was last year. But you're hoping that this time around last year that he really stepped up and really started to dominate over the course of the summer. And you're hoping that Robbie Ray can return to that form for the Mariners. But so far to start the year, I think that it has been below expectations.
Curtis, you also going with a C for Robbie Ray, because that's what I said. Jake said C minus.
Yeah,
tough grader over here.
Boy, it has not gone the way I think we had hoped it would with Robbie Ray. You got to sit down as parents and be like, look, Robbie shows so much potential. But
we know what Robbie did last year.
But he's gotten into detention a couple of times.
Hanging with a different crowd, yeah. Some older kids.
Like, is everything all right at home? Is everything all right at home? No? Yes? Okay.
All right.
Just wondering.
Those average out. I mean, we've got some A players here, some B players, and then we've got guys with poor grades who can obviously do better. So we'll see what the second quarter has for the Mariners. But first quarter grades, I would say overall disappointing considering the expectations for the season.
Can we do one more? Can we do
promise.
One more grade? Can we do one more
yeah,
grade?
Who do you want
can
to
we
do
sneak
here?
One in?
Quickly.
Eugenio Suarez.
Eugenio
Suarez. What would you grade him? What would you grade Gina? What would you grade Good Vibes Suarez?
B minus.
B minus.
I would say he has outperformed my expectations, though I was not as familiar with him, so my expectations probably could have been a little bit higher. But I think that he has so far been the better part of the trade, and I was not expecting that. I'm going B.
You're going B, okay, Curtis?
I'll go with a B. I know we're all going to have higher grades for him than Bob Stelton will.
Bob's going to give him an F.
Bob has made one of the weirdest hills to die on, like going.
Okay,
like,
Jake, you hate Troy Aikman for no reason.
Stacy, that is completely different. Completely different.
Is
okay?
It?
Yes,
is
it is.
Different?
It is. I would not look at a single player that is currently on my team that I cover, okay, or that I'm a fan of, and actively point out every single flaw that they make, even though they do good things, right? Like the good has outweighed the bad. And I'm not sure why Bob Stelton has decided to die on that hill. But for me, I give Eugenio Suarez a B. I think that he has been pretty much as advertised when it comes to the field that, hey, he is good, but he's not great and he's going to make some mistakes. But I think Suarez has made some good plays out there at third base and has not been a tremendous liability for you. But with his bat, I think that he's been, you know, right what you would hope him, you would have hoped he would be. I would love to see his average be better, but overall, at this stage of his career, being a guy that's hitting for power and doing it consistently or at the level that he is, hitting 9 home runs, I'm happy with what we have been able to see from Suarez up to this point, and I hope that his play and his production continues because, you know, that is one of the, I think, you know, more solid things that you can count on right now is Suarez and his production or what he's going to be able to bring to your team.
This hour of Jake and Stacey brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. We are taking you around the diamond thanks to the Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners and Robbie Ray, speaking of, go for a series win today against the A's. Pre-game show with your boy Curtis Rogers comes your way immediately following us at noon. He'll also be on post, so stick around afterward. First pitch is at 1:10 p.m. Pre-game show starts at noon here on Seattle Sports Station. And that's Around the Diamond brought to you by Shane Company. Let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru, Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire. He's really a guru. He really played the game.
First down, what shocks you most, Jake, about not the Seahawks, the 49ers' approach to the offseason?
Well, I am actually really shocked that we have not seen any movement with Jimmy Garoppolo. And also the fact that there has been so many question marks about whether Jimmy Garoppolo is going to stay or whether he is even going to compete to be the starter. Now, what shocked me in regards to what was recently said, this was yesterday by Kyle Shanahan, in regarding Jimmy Garoppolo, quote, "I expect him at some time most likely to be traded, but who knows? It's not a guarantee. It's been on hold when surgery happened, and when he's healthy, we'll see what happens." Mm. I'm sorry. What? I mean, the whole conversation around this team, I don't think that this organization has done a good enough job in terms of making their intentions clear and also building up Trey Lance. You know, you don't need to overdo it and oversell that he is the, you know, the savior and the second coming of, you know, the next great San Francisco 49er quarterback. But we have not heard a ton of great things about Trey Lance. You know, and that he is really solidifying his role and that this organization is really optimistic about what he can do as the starter. And that, to me, is a big concern. And now you're sitting here and you're, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo will get traded. And if he's not, then he's going to be more inserted into the competition. Like, I just think that you're putting way too much is hanging in the balance for this organization. And it should be more clear. It should be more direct in terms of the direction that they want to go in. The other thing is that they still need to pay Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel. I mean, the 49ers this offseason have to address those two players and how they're going to be able to solve those two contracts, and that's going to greatly affect how they're able to continue to build and construct their roster moving forward. So the 49ers are really at a tipping point, I believe, in terms of where this organization is going to go. They're either going to be able to continue their sustained success, or if they handle this poorly, this could go sideways really, really fast for them.
Second down. How should Ryan Tannehill, who got in some hot water for his comments about Malik Willis, have handled the question about mentorship?
I would have, if Ryan Tannehill could have had a do-over in this, instead of immediately responding and taking offense to the word mentor, if I was him, I would have said, hey, my job is to make sure that I am prepared and to be, you know, the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, and I foresee myself doing that not only this year, but years to come, and I am excited to prove myself to this organization and to this fan base, and I know I need to be better. But I'm also, at the same time, going to help Malik Willis along in this process, and that he can learn from me. That he can learn from the way that I approach the game, the way that I approach film. And if he has questions, I will be there to answer them. But he didn't need to go over the top and take that as a sign of disrespect. And I think right now why Tannehill took that and as a sign of disrespect, Stacey, mm-hmm. is because Ryan Tannehill is fully aware of the conversation around Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. Tennessee fans can't wait to get rid of Ryan Tannehill right now. And right now, I think it's a little emotional. I think it's a little overreactionary. But Ryan Tannehill did not play well down the stretch of the season, and certainly not in that playoff game against the Bengals. And so what I would say is that instead of reacting to that emotionally, he should have taken a deep breath and should have tried to convey that he is not only preparing himself to be the starter, but that he is welcome. He is going to be, you know, welcoming in Malik Willis, and that will be a good teammate to him, because that sets the tone for everyone else in that locker room. As I said before, initially reacting to his comments, you have to set the tone as a quarterback, as a leader, no matter who you are on the team, that you are going to help those underneath you and that you are creating and fostering a culture that is looking out for each other. And when you're able to do that at the NFL level, that you have successful teams and guys that and cultures that look out for only each other and treat this truly as a business, and this is individualized, and I'm only looking out to take care of mine and my own, that's where you have teams that fail. And I think that that's where Ryan Tannehill missed the mark, and he's trying to make up for that, as we saw recently in terms of how he is going about actually mentoring Malik Willis in something that he said he was not going to do.
Third down. Are you surprised Jordan Brooks is taking over play calling duties as opposed to someone like Cody Barton, who assumed that role at the end of last season?
Yes, I'm actually very surprised. And it's not saying that Jordan Brooks can't take that role, but I'm surprised that he is doing that, because Cody Barton, I think, was more, I think he is more apt to take that role. Why? Because I think that he has been in the system for 4 years, going into 4 years now, and he has really understood this scheme and this system. Now, that really also, I wonder if Jordan Brooks is now going to be playing Mike linebacker, or if he's going to be playing Will linebacker still. Because typically the Mike linebacker is going to be the one that takes over those play calling duties. It's not every time, it's not across the board. But one of the things that you're also assuming is that the organization is also pushing Jordan Brooks to take that mantle. Because it was me, I'd say, all right, Cody Barton, you're ready for it. You can do it. Boom, you've done it before. Just make it easy. Make that transition smooth and simple. But Jordan Brooks, if you think about this for the long term, do you know Cody Barton is going to be your one of your starting linebackers past this season? You don't. You know Jordan Brooks is, though, for sure. And you also know that you want Jordan Brooks, as talented as he is, to take over and assume more leadership within this defense, and to be able to say Quandre Diggs, Daryl Taylor, Jordan Brooks, and to be able to be definitive about those guys, your star players. And so I think this is also a little bit of the organization and Pete Carroll challenging, Clint Hurt challenging Jordan Brooks to take on that mantle and to take on that role and to really, you know, have ownership of not just his individual responsibilities and his individual play, but also to be able to be accountable to his teammates and make sure that he knows where everyone is supposed to be in making those calls. And I think that that is an important gesture that they are making towards Jordan Brooks.
Fourth down. All right, very quick answer here, Jake, but I always like to make fourth down kind of fun or tie it to the timeline. In this case, it's the latter. A blogger got into an argument with a current 49ers player. If there were one player in the NFL you would never, ever, ever in a million years want to get into an argument with or an altercation with, who would it be?
I'm going to go back to the Seahawk days when I was in that locker room. I would say either Cam Chancellor or Michael Bennett. Cam Chancellor, Michael Bennett were the two people in that locker room that you wanted absolutely nothing to deal with. Like, you would be like, okay, yeah, whatever you say. Yeah, like, those are the two guys that's just like, I'm not messing with anyone in that locker room. And everyone in that locker room felt the same exact way.
Argument, I would say Quandre Diggs, because he's really quick, and I feel like he would just make fun of you and you wouldn't have a response.
Very quick with it.
I don't like that. It would be.
Sherm was that way,
too. He would just clown you, and you wouldn't have anything to do. Physically, I would say Aaron Donald. I'm like, I remember we were reading about that one guy who tried to fight Aaron Donald or got into an... And I just remember thinking, who tries to fight Aaron Donald?
Someone who is not in their right mind. That's to answer your question.
All right, well, I will tell you what happened between a player and a blogger next.
This is The Timeline
with Jake and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
This hour of Jake and Stacey's brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. It is The Timeline, reading you the top stories you're going to see on your own Twitter timelines. And we're going to get started with a feud now between 49ers defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw, who is not a fan of 49ers blogger Grant Cohn, and made it very well known on Cohn's Instagram live stream on Tuesday. Let me give you a very, very quick backstory context before I play you this sound. So Grant Cohn covers the 49ers for a Sports Illustrated blog. Okay, he's been very, very critical in the past of Javon Kinlaw as a first round selection in the 2020 NFL draft. So, for instance, Kinlaw underwent season-ending knee surgery, and Cohn wrote, unless this knee surgery fixes his knee completely, he'll go down as a medical bust. There's plenty of history of tweets from Grant Cohn being very critical of Kinlaw and pretty persistently critical of him. Now, it is not a bad thing for someone whose job it is to cover sports to be critical of a player who hasn't lived up to expectations, right? Like, that's just, it comes with the territory, and anytime players get really upset when someone's critical, I always bristle a little bit thinking, hey, if it's not personal and if it's completely fair, it comes with the territory. However, when things become personal and then someone tries to back up and pretend, well, I'm just, you know, I want you to succeed, that's what I think is kind of ridiculous, too. So I will now play you the sound. This is Javon Kinlaw going off on Grant Cohn on Instagram Live.
But when I press up on you in person, you shaking like a coward, voice lighter than my baby, fam. What's up
you
with
think
that?
I'm scared of you, Javon?
What's up with that, fam?
You think I'm scared of you, Javon?
Fam, I don't give a if you are not. All I know is when I walked up on you, your body temperature was cold as ice. Great. Yo.
Hey, Javon. Javon, do you think you're representing the 49ers well right now?
Me on this internet, bro.
Javon, do you think the 49ers are proud of what you're saying right now?
Stop playing with me like you know me, bro.
Stop. I don't even know what. I don't even know why you're mad, Javon.
I'm not one of your
friends,
bro. You don't know me, bro.
I don't.
So obviously that was a heavily censored version of it. And,
yes.
You know, I'm not condoning or condemning either thing. They're both adults here getting into an argument. I will say that I did not personally interpret this as a player overreacting to criticism, rather a player that had had enough of probably what he felt like was needling from a Sports Illustrated blogger who, you know, may or may not have, you know.
Well, 100%.
I'm not saying he, like, deserves to be approached by anyone, but I'm just saying that I think that this is, there's a layer of complication. And, like, no journalist, reporter deserves to be criticized for literally just doing their job.
No one deserves to be criticized for doing their job.
This gets into a weird personal territory between these two.
This is a different layer here.
Yeah.
Because what I think Grant Cohn is and what he has built his shtick off of is by, and it seems like this is by everyone in that building from a player perspective feels this way about Grant Cohn. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know Grant Cohn personally, but it seems like this guy's shtick is to get under the skin and to provoke people, and especially when it comes to the players. And when you're an organization like the 49ers and you grant access, media access to somebody like this, then you are allowing your players to be exposed to someone that is constantly trying to aggravate, someone that's constantly trying to, I think, go beyond what is appropriate for a journalist to do. Right? Cover the team. If you want to be in the locker room, you want to ask questions, you want to do those things, then be a journalist rather than trying to, under the surface, try to provoke players and try to provoke responses that are gonna bring you the attention that you're seeking and wanting, right? And so that, to me, is where that crosses the line, and that the organization, the 49ers, in my opinion, need to do a better job of restricting access to someone like this. And they can still cover the team. They can still do their thing and still cover the team. And they can be ultra critical of the players if they want to. Mm-hmm. But you have to limit the access to certain individuals like that. And I think that Kinlaw going out on his own to, to confront Grant Cohn is the 100% wrong thing to do. All Javon Kinlaw did was just continue to give Cohn a this is exactly what he wanted. This is, Cohn is thrilled today because of the attention that he is getting and that everyone around the country is talking about him, including us.
So Javon Kinlaw's teammate, Eric Armstead, kind of hinted at that with a tweet. He retweeted the video and he said, "This is the type of lowlife we let into our building. He would rather antagonize and provoke players into hitting him so he can retire instead of doing his, quote, job of journalism." So again, I'm not reading it as Eric Armstead criticizing journalists, rather a specific type of person who covers a team. And not only that, but in the full video, Grant Cohn, who can clearly see that Javon Kinlaw is very agitated, like irritated and probably fed up. Fed up would be the right word of, you know, a couple years of coverage from this guy. Not in my mind, sensitively covering serious things like player injuries, right? I think there are better ways to do it. And he's had enough. And instead of Grant Cohn at the beginning saying like, hey, listen, it's my job. What's your issue with me? What do you think I got wrong? Tell me if there's something you think I got wrong and we can have a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he kind of needles him and lets him keep going and almost like, you know, do you think the 49ers are proud of you? Like, I just feel like it's not the – it might be how you, general you, would personally handle that interaction. In my mind, it's not how a journalist should handle an interaction.
Yes. And I think that also this comes back to the idea of, you know, what Grant Cohn has said, you know, in terms of, you know, how he's tried to approach – his form of being a journalist or covering the team. And as I said, this is his process has been to provoke players to try to get under their skin. And that to me, you do you, mm-hmm. right? But don't be surprised when players come at you.
That's
and players ice you out and everything else. Like, he's not innocent in this situation. Do I think Javon Kinlaw did the right thing? Absolutely not. Would I advise players to do this? Absolutely not. They just stay in your lane and don't even give people like Grant Cohn a second of your time.
But there's a professional way to cover athletes and be critical where you remember that athletes are also people.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes people, let me just tell you, it is incredibly uncomfortable to criticize an athlete. Like, even during the grade segment, I'm like, oh, do I give Jesse Winker an F? He was so nice. He's such a nice person. You know what I mean? And you're like, it's incredibly uncomfortable to do. And, you know, people criticize us all the time. I recognize that if you're everyone is free to be criticized for anything. That is completely fair. When it becomes personal and you're like just needling someone, making it personal, that's not journalism anymore.
No, it's not. It is a vendetta, or it is, you know, you know exactly what you're doing at that point in time. And that's why, you know, being a former player and coming onto this side and being, you know, behind the mic, it is very weird. And I have to tell you, it is awkward at times to be in this situation because you can be in a situation where you say something that's critical of the player that is very fair and players get sensitive about it. I've been in that situation, and I've talked to players and said, was anything I said wrong? And usually the answer is no. But, you know, so you can't be afraid to be critical of players when it's your job and that's what you're supposed to do. But like you're saying, you can't make it personal, and there is a line that you can easily cross mm-hmm. in terms of demeaning players and all of that I have tried to do from day one to completely avoid and to just make it about the job that they are doing, whether they're doing a good or a bad job. And usually you can stay pretty good just following that line. But people like Grant Cohn...
An example of what not to do.
But I personally think that this is more on the 49ers organization for allowing somebody like that to continue to keep getting access and exposing their players to that type of person. They should be doing a lot more to create a barrier between the players and journalists or people that cover the team, random people that cover the team, like Grant Cohn. If you're going to have people in the building interviewing players, it should be a beat writer. It should be, you know, someone who is doing a good job covering the team on a day-to-day basis. And when they make it personal or they make it, you know, about them, that's when you should start to be very wary of their access.
All right, wrapping things up with this or that, it's coming your way next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, wrapping things up with this or that. As a reminder, short show today, we're taking you right to the Mariners pregame show, hosted by Curtis Rogers, by the way, sticking around with you guys. He'll take you right up to first pitch at 1:10, so let's get started. It's this or that, brought to you by All Red Heating and Electric. I got a couple fun ones themed for the Heaps fam, who's in studio. So,
yes.
Jake, they can give you a thumbs up if you want a certain answer. So we'll start very simple here with this or that, guys.
Okay.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate or vanilla.
Okay. Bodie or Jackson, chocolate or vanilla? I will say Chocolate. I'm going to go with chocolate. Now, vanilla is a good flavor, okay? Vanilla is a good flavor. It's a safe flavor, and sometimes it might be just what the situation calls. But more often than not, Stacey, I am always going to pick chocolate, and I really don't think you can go wrong. The only time, and Curtis, Stacey, you tell me if you think differently. The only time I think chocolate can be done wrong is either in a smoothie or with ice cream.
What?
There are some ice creams out there that it's just too...
Chocolate ice cream can be a little overpowering.
Like dark chocolate. And I think that you can mess that up a little bit. It depends on the brand.
All right. From a listener, this or that. Grilling burgers or grilling steak?
Steak. Of course.
It's Curtis?
I love me a grilled burger.
Do yeah. you?
Love a grilled burger.
You're a grill burger?
Yes.
Over a steak?
I mean, steak is overall better, but there's something about grilling burgers in the summer, the smell of it.
Brooke, steak or burger?
She says steak.
Steak. That's why we're married. That's why we're married. There's just something to cooking a steak that is just so incredibly satisfying.
How about this one? Jackson and Bodie can give you a thumbs up
okay.
if they agree. Mariners or A's?
Mariners or A's, boys? This should be easy. Mariners. Okay, they got that
easy
one right.
Easy answer is the Mariners. Good. I don't think anyone's saying A's for this one.
I asked Bodie. I said, hey, what are we gonna yell at the Mariners game? He only had go for me. But in moment, Bodie versus asking him a question is completely different. Once you get the soda going with the kids,
oh no,
that is the catalyst. That is the catalyst, and they are in it from the moment after that. So trust me, Mariners, we will be loud.
Some liquid courage.
That's right, exactly right.
The safe variety.
Or the sugar coursing through your veins, one or the other.
Themed with what we've been talking about, elite offense, baseball, or elite pitching staff.
I mean, both is desired right now for the Mariners. So it's not like one emotionally triggers the other right now, right? But I am going to say, elite offense. It's just more fun to watch, right? It is more fun to watch, and you enjoy it. And I would love to be able to watch the Mariners at some point have an elite offense. But, man, is it maddening to watch this pitching staff not live up to the billing right now.
Curtis, elite offense or elite pitching staff?
I feel like you can win more with an elite pitching staff, so I'll take that.
Okay.
I mean, you don't have to be on your A game if your pitching staff can hold up their end of the bargain, whereas your offense has to perform night in and night out if the pitching's not there. So I will take an elite pitching staff over an elite offense.
From a listener, you can have summer days or winter days. Now, keep in mind.
Summer days or winter days?
Keep in mind, an argument of winter. Listen, an argument of winter, football season, holidays, lots of food, pumpkin spice things. That last one, I don't know if that's turning heads.
It still does not beat the best
summer. You know what would
actually be a great question? Instead of that, and no disrespect to our texters, we have the best listeners in the business, and we appreciate it. Better question.
My answer is winter.
Of course, because it's the right temperature for you and your personality. But better question, summer days or summer nights?
Ooh.
Summer days or summer nights?
Summer nights. The summer evening when you guys can like sit outside and eat, that's the best time.
And it stays light till 9 and 10 o'clock?
Even now, the sun's setting right now at like 8:45.
Oh, summer nights in Washington are the absolute best.
Yes.
Right? It stays light for... you know, till like 9:30, and you know it's like that perfect temperature where you know you go to somewhere tropical and it's still super warm and it's muggy. Where in Washington, it'll come down that temperature where it's just perfect. Where all you need is just like a light sweater sweatshirt. I mean, light sweater, turtleneck, if you please. A light sweatshirt, and it's just perfect. Just chilling, maybe a bonfire. I mean, summer nights in Washington are the absolute best.
All right, well, the Mariners and Robbie Ray are going for a series win today against the A's. Pre-game starts.
Out,
Curtis
Stacey.
Rogers
you can do
comes
this.
Your way immediately following us
Heart
at
out.
Noon. Stop it, you guys.
Don't bleed into my
First
time.
Stop. First pitch is at 1:10 p.m. on Seattle Sports Station. The Heaps family going to be going to the game.
Yes.
So maybe a warning for you guys. This could be a long one.
4 hours
minimum, but it'll be a good one. Mariners need this series win, and they're going for it today. So that will do it for us. Curtis Rogers taking over for pregame. He'll take you into first pitch at 1:10 p.m. This has been Jake and Stacy on Seattle Sports Station.